If you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3, my message tonight is what I observed about people, good and bad. What I have observed about people, good and bad. Brother David read from us Romans chapter 6, and I just want to elaborate on verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. It's the choices that we make. That's what I've observed about people, good and bad. It's the choices that we make in life. You have those who are in a trial situation that we call to be bad people. Well, they are bad because of the choices that they make. And for those who are, quote, to be good people, they are good in society's point of view because of the choices that they make. As individuals, we often draw on conclusions of what we conclude to be what is good and bad. Based on this in today's society, there is a class of two groups of people, the good and the bad person. It's likely that good people enjoy the company of good people. On the other hand, bad people enjoy the company of like-minded people. First, let's look at the general overview of bad people. Bad people have a tendency to do the opposite of what we consider to be good. I put emphasis on what we consider to be good. Lying, cheating, indulging in unlawful activities, disrespectful, seeking their own, negative attitude, and evil gestures. These are some of the characteristics of what the Bible scriptures and society reflects in the characteristics of a bad person. These are some of the characteristics of what the Bible scriptures and society reflects in the characteristics of a bad person. Good people, on the other hand, have a tendency to desire a sense of serenity. A general overview of the characteristics of good people may include. Now notice I said may include. See, we can have this own perception with our mind what is good. We also have our own perception in our mind what is bad. So I put a strong emphasis on what may include, which is honesty, hard working, never indulging in criminal activity, respectful, caring for others, having a positive attitude, and having positive thinking, and being a productive citizen. From a worldly point of view, there is a stark contrast between bad and good. And this is what Brother Melvin has saying right now. So I'm not throwing any stones at anyone at this present moment. I'm not throwing stones at anyone at all. This is what I believe. I hope that the world's viewpoint, as described above, has not negatively imparted the body of Christ. I'm hoping that the stark contrast between what is good and bad has not infiltrated, the worldly viewpoint has not infiltrated into the body of Christ. Let me explain to you. See, the world says they may not be any hope for a person, but we as believers say there is hope. Amen? The world says, oh, just lock them up and put them in jail. Now, I'm not in any way edifying, criminal activity. But I really believe if a person is living and they have the desire to get out of what they are in and have a choice of wanting to do what is right, we as believers must go to them and encourage them and let them know, as long as you're believing, you're still, as long as you're breathing, you still have hope. For example, in 1996, when I was caught up in my mess at a very, very early age in life, might have been around maybe about 22, 23, 24 years old, and I decided that the groups that I were going to were not beneficial for me, because I had some friends of mine that turned their life around through the gospel. So I went to the director where I was at, and I told the director that I wanted to change my life around, but I wanted to go a different route. I wanted to go through the Word of God. I knew nothing about the gospel, but I saw some changes in my friend's life. And I start seeing that he wasn't talking like he was talking at one time several months ago. He wasn't acting like he was acting several months ago. I noticed that there was a change of aura within him, and I wanted some of that. Well, how can you get that? Sometimes people are the only Bible that you may see without even knowing the Bible. He was a living and walking, talking Bible at that time in my life. And I wanted to know, how did you get that? So I went to my friend and I said, you know, I want to become a Christian. And he looked at me and he said, you know, Melvin, I don't think you have what it takes to become a Christian. Now, isn't that something? He said, I don't think you, now listen. And I could understand why he gave me that answer. We have an obligation as believers not to let the world system, in contrast with what is between what is good and what is bad, to infiltrate the body of Christ. As long as people are living and they have a desire to receive the gospel, there's hope. Amen? On the other hand, as believers, we should know that there is a commonality with good and bad people. There is a commonality between good and bad people. As believers, we should know this. And that commonality is Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The truth of the matter is, people need to acknowledge that there is a great power at work in our lives. And that great power is God Almighty. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says it very clearly. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We are without excuse that there is a living God. Those who don't believe that there is a living God are without excuse. Somebody produced the clouds, and I know it wasn't man. Somebody produced the stars, and I know it wasn't man. Someone's holding the sun back at a certain angle, and the earth is tilted at a certain angle so it won't burn up on one side and freeze on the other side. And that someone is God Almighty. So for those who call themselves to be atheists, there are no atheists. They call themselves to be atheists because that's a sinful nature within man that loves to debate. That loves to debate. Let me share something with you real quickly. It was a story that I heard several years ago about those who called themselves to be atheists. They were in the neighborhood, the atheists were, they were passing out flyers that there's no God. Then you had those who were Christians who were passing out flyers about the living God and having scripture references, but atheists didn't have any. They were just coming up with all kinds of conclusions about there's no God. One atheist were driving in the car and other Christians were driving in the van. And as each group was driving around, this radio announcement came over the radio. This announcement came over the radio and said, be careful, there are gang members in this neighborhood. All of a sudden, the atheists, their van breaks down. So they get out the van and they begin to pop the hood and begin to, I guess, repair whatever problem was with their van. Then all of a sudden, they saw in the dark hours of the night a group of individuals coming to them. Now, in their right mind, who do you think they hope that this group of individuals were? Ah, you get it? See, there's no atheists. They're just people who just like to debate. Because in fashion and honesty, they know there's something outside of themselves that created this world. And they know it wasn't man. The Bible says they are without excuse. But there are those who choose to live in sin, to be disobedient. The Bible says very clearly in Romans chapter 24 through 32, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. This for those who choose to be in disobedience through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also men leaving their nature, natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, See, they had some type of knowledge, but they choose not to retain God in their knowledge. That debating spirit, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mindless mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, and wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, that means hurting one's character, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They enjoyed sin. They enjoyed what they were doing. And they came to a reprobate mind. And God gave them that reprobate mind because that's what they choose to do because of disobedience. Bad-minded people. Thank God tonight that we, as those who are here tonight, that we don't have a reprobate mind. Praise God for that, because we wouldn't be here receiving the gospel of Christ. I don't think any of us are here just for a show. we realize somewhere down the line that we need to get right every day of our lives. Paul says it very clearly in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Then he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That means we have a responsibility. Are we willing to take the task with the responsibility? See, when I was told that I didn't have what it takes to be a Christian, 19 years later, who would have ever thought that I would be here ministering God's word, that people see something within me that helps me to encourage me to be better? There are days that listen, to be honest with you, there are days, man, I struggle. But there are days that I have a desire to want to please God every day. There are some days I just don't want to be bothered, but I have to stay in the race. See, I heard a quote this week, a very powerful quote. See, we ought to be flying, but when we don't want to fly, we can just run. And when you don't feel like running, you can walk. And when you don't feel like walking, you got to crawl. But whatever you do, just finish the race. Just finish the race through any means necessary. Believers are not excluded from Romans 3:23. Believers are not excluded from Romans 3:23. Turn to Titus chapter 3, please. Titus chapter 3. Verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, for we ourselves. Now, who's he? He's talking to believers. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Listen, I know better. When we made the decision to come into the body of Christ, we didn't come with queen and silver and gold and a robe and lavish and a red carpet. We came in here like filthy rags. And listen, and we can't forget that. See, that's when that humbleness comes in. Because sometimes we can get to a point, especially, and listen, I'll be honest, I've only been in Christ for since 2008. From 1998 on up to 2008, I really thought I was in Christ, but it's a long story behind that. But there are times where I can get the high-mindedness as a person and forget what I'm called to do as a believer in Christ. So I know if I get it within 7 years, and for those who have been in Christ 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I know you're getting it too. This is a message of encouragement. Not to think highly of yourselves, but remember where we came from. Because for those that we say they are bad, there is still hope for them. Regardless of the given situation, there is still hope. For those believers who have changed their mind, for those who have changed their mind to become believers, they have just decided to become wiser in their decision and in their life. That's all we did. We didn't want to live the lifestyle anymore of being deceitful. We made a decision that we wanted to follow Christ. We knew there was something outside of ourselves that we need within ourselves to be better for Christ. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law he should meditate day and night." Meditate. How do you meditate? That means you're thinking about the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "Whose mind is kept on thee, he shall keep you in perfect peace." Well, whose mind is kept on thee? On what? Whose mind is kept on God? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing those things into captivity, which is of God." What are we thinking about? Is our mind being pure every day of our lives? That we ought to think about, God, what can I do for you today? God, who can I bless today in giving the gospel of Christ to? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "I count myself not to apprehend it, but this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus." We cannot allow our past errors to dictate our future. We cannot allow our past errors to dictate our future. We have a gift, and that gift within inside of us is Jesus Christ. Throughout this evening, we have discussed the characteristics of good and bad and the choices we make in our lives. As this lesson comes to a close, there are two more points that I like to make at this time. One point is coming from out of Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving instructions from God. The people of Israel were impatiently waiting for Moses to come down off this mount. And as they were waiting impatiently for Moses to come down, they said to Aaron, "Make us a god." Aaron is Moses' brother. "Make us a god that will go before us." In other words, make something that we can worship, because this Moses that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. So Aaron, Moses' brother, said to the men, "Give me your earrings." And he said to their wives, "Give me your earrings," and to the sons and to the daughters. And the people gave Aaron the jewelry. And the Bible says, and Aaron took the jewelry and he began to fashion a molten calf. And when he fashioned the molten calf, the people said, "These be the gods who brought us out of the land of Egypt." And the next day they had a feast. And God seen and heard everything that took place on that day. And God told Moses, "I ought to consume them." And Moses said, "God, you can't consume them, because you remember you made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you said you'd make a new nation in their name, not my name." And the Bible says that God repented. In other words, he turned away from what he was going to do to the people of Israel. Now, Moses and Joshua went into the camp, and they seen the molten calf, and they took the molten calf and they burned it. Not only did they burn it, but they also grounded it up to became powder form. Then they took barrels of water and they mixed the powder in the water and commanded the people to drink of it. And the people drank of it. In verse 26 of Exodus chapter 32. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out of the gate from gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day 3,000 men. 3,000 souls lost their lives because of the choices that they made. Consequences of people making bad choices. Their intentions, now listen to this. Their intentions were good. They had good intentions because they wanted to serve. But they made a bad choice. Have you ever in your life had good intentions and made bad choices? Yes, Brother Melvin, I have. We all have. But let's not make the bad choice. Let's not make the bad choice to where we lose our soul over it. These folks walk with God. They've seen the miracles that God performed. But their heart was hardened towards God. James chapter 1, verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Now I'm looking at the latter part of this. To keep yourself unspotted from the world. How do we keep ourselves unspotted from the world? God made a serious plan. God made a serious master plan. Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins." In Acts chapter 2, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And these devout Jews heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from Peter, one who walked with Christ. From verses 14 through 36, they heard the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. And on this day, verse 37. "Now when they heard this," when they heard the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, "they were pricked," the Bible says, "in their heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" They were asking, "What must we do to be saved?" Verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent, be baptized in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is said unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.' And with many other words, he did testify and exhorted, saying, 'Save yourselves from this untoward generation.' Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. See, they never became impatient. See, they were in Christ. And they stayed in Christ because they chose to follow the apostles' doctrine. See, as believers, as we stay in Christ and we choose to obey what the apostles' doctrine and what Jesus has taught the apostles and what God has taught Jesus, we're safe. We consider to be good people. It's all about choice. We are the choices that we make in our lives. We can make the choice to be bad. And that means to be in disobedience, or we can make the choice to be good. But that does not exempt us from Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, as believers, we ought to thank God for the verse, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, that's for us, because see, there are times that we fall short. Amen? So we got to make that thing right. We have to make it right. Now, if you could now learn something, if you continue to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, it was said to me back in 2009, I remember this when the brother said this to me. He said, brother, let's one take this. You got to question your salvation, man. If you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, you got to question your salvation. Are you really in Christ? We all have something. I hope as believers we're not putting sins into categories. I hope we're not putting sins in categories. And I know we do. It's easy to do. I love sometimes when a person asks me about my life story, and if I see that it's sincere and they ask me, and I tell them the things I went through, right away they declare themselves, oh, well, I didn't do that. But I did do this. Well, I understand. I chuckle with inside myself when they say that. You know, I chuckle within. And it's okay. I understand that. Because society has made drugs and alcohol to be the worst thing in the world. And I understand that. So I don't get offended by that. I used to. I don't get offended by that. But once I became a believer and started studying God's word, the Bible tells me very clearly that sin is a stitch to the nostrils of God. It's all sin, and it all stinks. It's always something to work on. God has shown His grace and His mercy despite the good and bad choices we made in our lives. Is there a difference between good and bad people? Yeah, we can say in some areas. As society. But what does God say about it? Which I believe. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Song Linger, please play. If there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know the gospel of Christ, who wants to come forth so we can pray with them and teach them what the Bible says about your soul to be right with God, I encourage you to come forth. If there's one here tonight that just may be struggling, just want to be prayed for, may have a trial, tribulation in your life, the Bible says you're going to have that. We are not exempt from that as believers. I ask you to come forth tonight. Song leader, please.